sunny skies on a Wednesday afternoon is what we're expecting, with highs around 90, feeling like around 100. Yeah, it's summertime in southeast Louisiana. That's about what we should expect. The good news, absolutely nothing we need to worry about in the tropics, despite what you may see from fearmongers online and on social media. There is nothing that southeast Louisiana needs to worry about right now in the tropics, so we will count that as a blessing, even though you may see things to the contrary. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, Walt Leger joins us, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. A major gathering, a prestigious gathering, is coming back to New Orleans that has only been here occasionally over the last century. That's how old this thing is and how important it is that it's coming to New Orleans. We'll talk about that in the 12 o'clock hour, find out why it's such a big deal and how it could definitely help this Crescent City and the region moving forward. In the 11 o'clock hour, Michael Heck joins us from GNO Inc. to talk about what's going on with efforts now for economic development in southeast Louisiana. And very interesting, he'll have a special guest joining us. They have worked very hard in recent months to solve a big, big complaint of businesses here in Louisiana. They post jobs and they don't get qualified applicants. And jobs go unfilled for long periods of time, crippling their efforts to be successful because they can't find the right people for the right jobs. At the same time, we frequently hear from employees looking for jobs, for job seekers, that they can't find a job. Well, now there's a new tool to try and put those people looking for a job together with those people that have job openings to hopefully solve this problem and move this process forward. So we'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour. This hour, I want to start by talking about summer vacations. Here we are on June the 10th. A lot of people already on vacation, many more planning vacations. To me, a summer vacation is not a luxury. A summer vacation is not an occasional treat. A summer vacation is as close to a necessity as it can be without being an absolute necessity. To me, summer vacations are crucial for bonding with the family, for escaping from the stresses of life, from helping yourself be able to cope with everything you deal with the rest of the year. And some of the best memories my family has ever is from summer vacations. And I know times are tough economically. I know gas prices are high. I know inflation is eating into everybody's budget. But there are a lot of things I will sacrifice before I sacrifice a summer vacation. I will eat out less all year long so that I can afford a summer vacation. I will compromise on spending on many other things throughout the year just so I know we can afford a summer vacation. Sadly, not all, in fact, not most Americans either can or do have that same approach to summer vacation. Let's find out more as Henry Hartefelt joins us, a travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, a travel industry market research firm. Hey, Henry, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm glad that you're back with us. I know that we talked to you when the travel season was kicking off, and we talked about some of the challenges that people were facing in traveling. But now we have this report that really made me a little sad, that 55% of Americans are not going to take a summer vacation this year, the lowest in 6 years. What's going on?
It's the economy. It really is the economy, and it boils down to that. When you've got gas prices that are substantially higher and in turn causing a spike in the price of everything from food to other everyday essentials to the luxuries that we want to have, it leaves us all with less disposable income unless you're extremely well-to-do or have a lot of savings or other wealth. And research we did in March, a few weeks after the fighting in Iran began, showed 39% of Americans at the time said they weren't able to save enough money to take a summer vacation. So people are just sitting it out this summer. And you know, I heard what you said earlier. Summer vacations are so special to so many of us, but this is a sobering reminder that they're not a right. They're in a way a privilege.
Yeah, I know. And obviously, that's the way many people choose to or have to approach it, because they just don't have the money and they don't want to either cut into their savings or go into debt to take a summer vacation. And I totally understand that. But to me, that's really unfortunate.
I agree, because as you said, summer vacations are not only where we get away and can relax, but they're times where memories are made, memories that could be lifetime memories, whether it's just you and a friend or you and your spouse or partner or with your family or whoever it's going to be. You are discovering new things. You are discovering things about yourself. You are having fun. And it's just, to me, an almost sacred right. And look, there are affordable ways to have a summer vacation. You don't have to fly. You don't have to go far away. You can take a short trip, maybe to a city that you haven't been to before, or town, or, you know, in Louisiana, there's plenty of places to visit. And there are many other places that are a short drive away as well, where you can have a nice getaway, even if it's just 2, 3, 4 nights, and stick to the budget. Rent a, you know, you can do vacation rental to have a kitchen and save on expenses for dining out. There are, again, lots of ways to craft a nice summer vacation.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually kind of funny you say that, because vacationing on a budget has been kind of a point of comical contention in my family for decades. When my children were young and we couldn't afford to take a lavish vacation, we couldn't rent a condo on the beach for a week or in the mountains for a week, or we couldn't go to a luxury resort. You know, we did things like we got a pop-up camper and we drove along the coast, staying at different camping sites in this camper that you literally had to crank and crank and crank to pop it up and pop out the sides and lay down the beds. And my wife and my 4 children and our dog and I all in that camper taking a summer vacation. Now, the kids to this day ridicule us for it and criticize us, saying, how could you subject us to that? But at the same time, they have very fond memories, and as do we, of the time we spent doing that. So it does not have to be a ridiculously expensive proposition. You can go stay in state parks for literally a few dollars a night if you either rent or have a camper, or just go buy a tent, you know, at the, or order a tent from one of the, you know, from Amazon or Walmart or whatever. There are ways to take a vacation and not break the bank.
Right. And you know, you talked about your kids teasing you about this stuff, and they will. But the thing is, these are memories that they have and will carry with them through their lifetimes. And who knows, when they are old enough and have children of their own, maybe they will try to replicate something like that. Because as funny as it may have been, as different as it may have been, it was something that may have struck an emotional chord. And again, that's what the vacation is about. It's creating these emotional memories. And your points are really good. You can stay in state parks, and there may be other resources that are extremely affordable. And there are ways to find, whether it's tents, sleeping bags, whatever else you need to do if you do want to camp, or if you want a glamp, as they say, and, you know, take it up a notch or two, you can do that and still save money over a traditional type of vacation.
Yeah, and like here in Louisiana, the state parks almost all have cabins that are available for rent. So there are those different levels, from sleeping on the ground to sleeping in a tent to bringing a camper to an RV, all the way up to renting a cabin. And that having been said, there's other affordable ways to vacation other than camping. And I'm not trying to shame anybody or make anyone feel bad if they can't afford a vacation. I get it. I totally understand the pressures of the economy. And for a lot of people, it is hard to justify spending money on a vacation when they're just having trouble paying their bills and making ends meet. But I'm serious when I say I will shop store brands all year long if it means I get to take a summer vacation. I will skip dining out for weeks or months if it means that I have to cook at home, but I have enough money to take a summer vacation. And others may not want to make those sacrifices, or those may not be large enough sacrifices, because this is a tough economic time, and that's what you found in your research.
Right, right. And so there's some things to just layer on top of what you've said. In our 2026 study of U.S. travelers, which we conducted in February and March, and this was a study of more than 5,000 people, 88% said that they establish a budget for their leisure trips, whether it's a weekend getaway or a summer vacation or anything else. They always establish a budget for it, which covers transportation, accommodations, and other basics like that. And then they have a separate budget for food, entertainment, shopping, and, you know, what I call the fun budget or the second wallet. But people are really, really more focused on sticking to their budget, they say, this year than they were last year, again, because everything is more expensive. And then what we also find is that for people who prioritize travel in their lives, which is 55% of travelers, of leisure travelers, travel is important. They do just what you said you do, Dave. They will find ways to save on other purchases where they can. So buy store brand items at the grocery store, store brand clothing, wait for sales, et cetera, in order to make sure that they can put the money they want and need into their travel savings accounts, or have it, you know, allocated within their budgets, whatever. So we know that for people for whom travel is important, they will go out of their ways to save for it. They're not going to inconvenience themselves very much, but they're willing to make sacrifices because travel is the most important thing to them. And whether it's the summer vacation or weekend getaways or whatever, they want to make sure they can enjoy it.
You know what I fear listening to you is that we have folks like myself who find summer vacations to be a vital thing for, you know, I love my job. I have a dream job. I'm blessed. But I still really, really want a week or two away every year from my job just to decompress and to have those times when everything is different and fun and we're in vacation mode. But you make a good point that not only is everything in life gotten more expensive, but of course travel has gotten more expensive. And if fewer people travel, I got to imagine that puts more pressure on all of the travel-related industries to raise prices so they can continue to make profits. So do we end up getting a widening gap between the people who travel and the people who don't? Because if travel keeps getting more expensive and fewer people are traveling, those of us who do travel, I think, have to bear a larger burden, and it may get to a point where more people can't afford it, right?
Well, one of the ironies about the travel industry is when fewer people are booking trips, whether it's flights, hotel stays, rental cars, train travel on Amtrak, cruises, whatever. Whenever we the brands see this happening, one of the first things they do is they take a look at the prices they're charging, and they try to find ways to cut the price or introduce promotional pricing. So they may go to members of their loyalty club or their credit card holders or past customers or whoever and say, hey, or they may just cut the fare or the rate altogether and just do an email blast for the next 72 hours. Airfares are X percent off, or airfares start at, you know, X dollars. And so on. Same with hotels, same with rental cars and so on. So the travel industry knows that they need volume, and so when the bookings don't come in, sometimes the prices fall. Now, obviously, right now, especially for airlines and cruise lines, who are dealing with much higher fuel prices, their hands are tied in certain ways in terms of how deeply they can discount. And I'll just use this as an example. Southwest Airlines normally runs fare sales starting between $39 and $49 each way when they have them. Since the start of the fighting in Iran, the fare sales have generally been $59 to $69, and more often than not, $69 is the starting price. Now, that could still be a great savings compared to the regular fares that the airline is charging, but it's obviously substantially more than it would be at the $39 or $49 levels that we normally see. So there are travel bargains out there, and I think this is really important for your listeners to understand. If you can be flexible with when you're traveling, where you're traveling, and are willing to be patient and do the research, there are good deals out there, although I'll put deal in quote marks because it's going to be relative. It may not be as cheap or anywhere close to as cheap as it was last year or in the past few years, but it may be a lot less expensive than perhaps you've seen in the past couple of weeks or months.
We're talking with Henry Hardeveld, the travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, about summer travel. When we come back, I want to take a look into the crystal ball. What does the future hold, and what can we tell from past travel trends? Is this cyclical, or are we going to continue to see people struggling to come up with the budget to travel? And what does he think the future holds? If you have any questions about travel, how to more efficiently travel, more effectively, more economically, any comments or thoughts you want to share, we welcome them at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line. I'm hearing from some people who explain why they are not traveling this summer, why they are in the majority of Americans that are not taking a summer trip. Are you? And if so, why not? And if you are prioritizing it, how are you finding the money to do it? Let's talk about it here on WWL. Folks are texting us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. One person says, already have a stressed budget, cannot afford a vacation. Somebody else, though, says there has to be a work-life balance. I would go crazy without one or two trips a year. Somebody else says, I was supposed to go to New York this summer, but the same hotel I stayed at in March for 7 nights is charging more for just 3 nights in July. Can't afford it. Can't go. We're talking with Henry Hardeveld, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, about the new research out on summer travel. And Deloitte said that a majority of Americans, 55%, are not traveling this summer, but those that are increasingly taking short trips, prioritizing more affordable weekend trips over longer vacations. Henry, did you find the same thing, that more people are taking shorter vacations and maybe doing the long weekend or just doing quick getaways because they can't afford a whole week and all of the luxury?
Yeah. So, Dave, it's what we call vacation snacking. And
I like
the ability,
that.
Yeah, the ability to go away, whether it's a long weekend or use a long weekend as a base and turn it into a 4 or 5 day getaway. Or go for a week or so, a week to 8 days at a time, is more palatable to a lot of people than the traditional 2 week summer vacation. Now, one thing that's actually interesting that has changed in the past few years is the introduction of, for a lot of business people and other professionals, to do their work from almost anywhere. And depending on what you do and what, you know, your arrangements are with your employer and, of course, your family situation, you may be able to go and take go during the middle of the week to a resort town when hotel rates are less expensive, but you still enjoy all the resort town has to offer, whether it's entertainment, theme parks, dining, et cetera, et cetera.
While working.
While working, while doing your work, you're not allowed to shirk off your work responsibilities, but you are able to take advantage during whatever free time you have to enjoy that resort town. The point that the person made about New York hotel prices, I just encountered that when I was in New York last week for business. But there are a couple of reasons. In July, the primary reason is probably World Cup, because they're playing World Cup soccer games in the New York metro area, I believe in New Jersey, and that's sending hotel rates in New York City through the roof. You also see a lot of people visiting New York in the summer, of course, but there are fewer people coming from abroad. One suggestion, if you're going to a major metropolitan area, whether it's New York, L.A., Chicago, and the downtown area is too expensive, expand your hotel search. If you want to stay at a hotel, look at different neighborhoods or maybe even some of the close-in suburbs if they're connected with transit. And you might be able to save money that way and get to experience a different part of that destination.
What about Airbnb, Vrbo, other short-term rentals? Have they proven, I know when they started, one of their appeals was they were less expensive than staying in a hotel. But it seems to me, and I don't do a whole lot of Airbnb, Vrbo, short-term stays, but it seems to me just based on what I've noticed, the prices have come up to a point where maybe you're really not saving money once you factor in the daily rate, the cleaning fees, the fees that you have to pay for the booking and everything else. How do they compare now? Can you save money doing short-term rentals?
There's a huge it depends there because it depends on the type of accommodation you're looking for. Are you looking just for a guest room in someone else's home, or do you want to rent the entire residence? Are you staying in an apartment versus a larger home, a one-bedroom unit versus multi-bedrooms, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right, and I'm glad you brought this up. The base rate that they may advertise could appear to be lower than a comparable hotel. But remember, one, you're not getting housekeeping. Two, you want to find out and make sure it's in a safe neighborhood. But three, there are all the other add-on fees, taxes, house cleaning at the end, and anything else. And some hosts now even require you to not only strip the bed when you leave, but to do the wash, to wash the bed linens, wash towels. You don't have to remake the beds, but they want that done before the housekeepers come in so the housekeepers spend less time and charge less money to get the unit ready for the next resident. So, again, look through the details about this and make sure that a vacation home rental is right for you. There are also, by the way, cities that limit vacation rentals. In some cities, you may not be able to stay in a vacation rental for fewer than 7 nights. And in other cities, vacation rental properties may only be allowed to be on the market for a finite number of days, after which the owner has to take it off the market for a certain amount of time.
All right. So it requires a little more research, and sometimes it comes with some homework when you're checking out well. A very different experience. Some people love it. Some people not so much. But I was just curious as far as the cost, if they were now pretty comparable to hotels or not. So
again, a lot is going to depend on what the type of accommodation you want to rent. In some ways, and you know, it may actually help you save money, not directly with the hotel, with the price you pay, but you'll have a kitchen, for example, if you're renting an apartment or a house. That means you can fix your own breakfast in the morning, your own coffee or tea, maybe fix lunch or even dinner one or two nights during your stay. And I realize a lot of us want to go away to not have to do cooking, but depending on the home, depending on the kitchen, depending on where you're going, shopping farmers markets, for example, could be a lot of fun. And then you go back and prepare dinner that night. And it's maybe a little bit different.
What does the future hold? And I know you can't answer that question concisely or with a whole necessarily 100% confidence. But based on what you've seen historically with trends in travel, when the economy gets tight and people pull back, does that lead to hunger for travel, that if people haven't taken a trip in one, two or more years, that they want it that much more? And then we see a resurgence of travel? Or how does that all work cyclically? And what do you think holds now?
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, yeah, we all saw this after COVID, the so-called period of revenge travel, when people were going almost anywhere just to get away because we were locked down for so long and restricted on what we could do and where we could go and so on. So what we do see is when a lot depends on the economy, right? If you have an economic slowdown versus a recession, you tend to see travel return at a slightly faster pace because generally fewer people have been laid off. The economic suffering has been less. But during a recession, especially if a lot of people have lost their jobs for a long time, they're struggling to rebuild their savings and it's a slower build back. What we're seeing right now isn't an economic slowdown. It's a period of incredibly expensive gasoline prices and the carryover effect that it has on everything that, you know, needs to be transported to where we live. So food is costing more. The things we buy in stores are costing more, whether they're everyday essentials or luxury items. Almost everything is costing significantly more. Or, you know, inflation is causing other businesses to raise their prices to account for their higher cost of doing business. It's a very bad upward spiral, and that's what's happening right now. If and when we start to see fuel prices come down, if and when we start to see inflation slow, that should help, I think, a lot more people be able to afford to take a trip.
Henry, I sure appreciate your expertise in sharing your research and your knowledge with us here on WWL. Do you have a summer vacation planned?
I do. And we'll actually be, for first time in a while, a little more than 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay. Good for you. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's rewarding. And we will not bother you while you're on your vacation for any of your analysis.
Like everyone going on vacation, I'm taking my laptop and cell phone with me because we can go on vacation, but we really can't disconnect.
No, unfortunately. You know what I do love when, and it's been a few years, but when I take a cruise and we get out into the open water and the cell phone says no service, that's one of the best feelings in the world, knowing that I really am not connected. But then one of the best feelings just shy of that one is usually when we get back into the Mississippi River when I cruise out of New Orleans and my phone comes to life and I now have connection again. So it's a little yin and yang.
There you go.
Thank you, Henry. Enjoy your vacation.
You.
Henry Hartfeld here from the Travel Industry Research Group Atmosphere. All right, I want to hear from you. 504-260-1870 in the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And not only about this, the rest of the show we've got pretty packed. So I'm going to open up the lines for anything you want to talk about for the next couple of segments. 504-260-1870 can be about summer travel. It can be about the story out of DeRidder, Louisiana, where the mayor, former mayor of DeRidder, was sentenced this week. She faced 17 years in prison for rape of a 16-year-old. The judge gave her 90 days. And now advocates of protecting children from predators are very angry. But it really does, I think, highlight what seems to be a huge double standard in our society. This is a woman who had sex with a 16-year-old boy, her son's best friend, and the law defines that as rape. But the judge said she only should serve 3 months in jail. If she had been a man who had sex with a 16-year-old girl, you think the sentence would have been 90 days? We can talk about that double standard in our society when we come back, or anything else you want to. 504-260-1870. Call me, text me now. We'll talk about it after this on WWL. If I'm going on vacation, I'm spending the extra on a hotel with amenities. One person texts us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. Somebody else says, we love Airbnb rentals, and it is not hard to start a load of wash before we leave. Apparently, our conversations that we just had about Airbnb, short-term rentals in general, versus hotel stays, touched a nerve with some people. And I think it's kind of like Apple or Android. It's kind of one of these people are very, very dedicated to one or the other. I am not. I can stay in either one. We've done short-term rental condos on the beach, and we've done hotel, you know, huge hotel luxury resorts on the beach in the past. And both have different, to me, advantages and disadvantages. And I've enjoyed experiences in both. Likewise, I can see where there are situations where I would like to rent somebody's house and stay in a house with a large group of people and have a whole house to ourselves. But at other times, I see where a hotel makes more sense. So I'm not sure why it's such an emotional issue and so many people are absolutely one or the other, team hotel or team Airbnb, but they are. And if you want to make your case, I'd be happy to hear from you at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm opening up the lines. Anything you want to talk about, this is your chance to get on the radio right now and share your thoughts with us. One of the things that I know some people are fuming about, and other people not so much, is this case out of DeRidder, Louisiana, where the former mayor, Misty Roberts, who was convicted of the rape of a 16-year-old boy, the judge, Judge Kent Savoy, handed down a sentence of just 90 days while the prosecution was asking for the maximum of 17 years behind bars. 90 days. What message does that send? And I think it is clear. It reinforces. And if you listen to me on the early edition of WWL First News at 5 a.m., you've heard me make this commentary before, probably. But this is reinforcing of it. We do have a double standard when it comes to these sorts of cases. And I will admit, I was never in either situation, thank God. But in the hypotheticals, if my son had come home and told me that his high school teacher, a woman, and he had sex, I would be tempted to congratulate him and give him a pat on the back. I wouldn't, but I would want to in some of my emotions. Knowing it's wrong and he shouldn't do it, but it's very different because if my 16-year-old daughter had come home and told me she had sex with her high school teacher, I would have to be restrained from not going and confronting that individual and demanding he spend the rest of his life behind bars, be castrated, or both. Now, my wife didn't have in these theoretical conversations, because thank God I was now neither in either situation, but she saw them equally as awful and did not have that same reserved want to attaboy my son or one of my sons in that situation. But I think that there is a, and I think, how can you deny that there's a double standard when you look at this case? We'll be back after this. A lot of proponents of short-term rentals texting the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870, talking about how great it is to have a kitchen so you can cook meals if you want to. Others talking about how when you rent a short-term rental, most of the time it's a local owner and you're supporting an individual's efforts to make a little extra money versus a big hotel corporation's. But not everyone sees it that way. A lot of people are so much happier in a hotel and feel like when they go to an Airbnb, they don't get the same level of service and don't have and they have too many responsibilities when they're at a short-term rental. But it really is interesting to me how many people are on one team or the other, and they're vehement about it. Also getting a lot of reaction to the story of the DeRidder mayor who's been sentenced to 90 days behind bars when she could have faced 17 years for having sex with a 16-year-old boy, her son's best friend. She did lose her job as mayor. She did was forced to resign and has faced extensive criminal prosecution and a lot of legal fees. But does that mean that 90 days is enough? One person texts us and says, Dave, I know it's not legal, but I don't know any 16-year-old boy who would want to imprison a woman who introduced him to sex. And somebody else says, oh, my God, that rape sentence is outrageous. Who is the judge? A relative? A male would definitely receive more jail time. The law says that willingness is not a factor when someone who is not old enough to consent. But even in cases where we have seen clear evidence that female victims were, albeit not as defined by law, willing participants in an affair with a teacher, for example, a male teacher, Could you imagine the outcry if a male teacher got 90 days for the rape of a 16-year-old student, regardless of her saying she was willing or not? All right, we'll leave that right there for now. We have the story on our website at WWL.com if you want to learn more about it. When we come back, Michael Hecht joins us. We'll see what DJ El Camino has chosen to open the show with and get some good news on economic development.